This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. The Super Bowl lived up to its hype. Good ball game. And when it looked like the San Francisco 49ers for much of that game were proving the old adage in sports, defense, a good defense will always beat a good offense. That defense fell apart in the fourth quarter. And Patrick Mahomes, after not looking that great for the first three quarters, showed up in the fourth quarter, and he led the Kansas City Chiefs the Super Bowl win over the San Francisco 49ers. Kansas City Chiefs went 50 years in between Super Bowl wins, and they got it done, and it was exciting. And Patrick Mahomes, not a bad first 3 years of his NFL career. He won the MVP of the league last year. And then this year he wins the Super Bowl MVP as well. Not a bad first 3 years of his NFL career. And I was glad to see a good ball game. I know a lot of people are talking about what happened during the national anthem. That was sung by Demi Lovato. Jay-Z and his wife Beyonce. They're basically the first couple of American music. They're the first couple of a lot of things. And yesterday they did not stand up during the national anthem, which was interesting because Jay-Z took a lot of hit from people inside the community, from black people, basically. When he joined the NFL after the whole Colin Kaepernick situation, Jay-Z said, I'm going to be a part of the NFL to help the NFL and I guess the community, black people, move forward after the Jay-Z situation, the Colin Kaepernick situation, where you know he took a knee during the national anthem a couple of years ago, and that kind of lingered for a while, and then all of a sudden during the national anthem yesterday, there's Jay-Z and his wife Beyonce not standing up for the national anthem. Look, I didn't particularly like that, but as someone who is a libertarian, I believe that people should have the right. If Jay-Z and Beyonce don't want to stand up for the national anthem, do you really care? Who cares? Coleman, I know a big word, and you happen to be a black guy, and I know that you don't speak for all black people, much like I don't speak for all white people. But one of the biggest words with black people in the community, the quote unquote community, is disrespect. The reason why a lot of problems happens is because he disrespected me. She disrespected me. You're not going to disrespect me. And it looked like yesterday, Jay-Z and Beyonce, without a doubt, they disrespected the American flag in our country. But people have the right to do that. I know several soldiers. And every soldier that I've ever heard speak would say, I don't agree with burning the American flag, spitting on the American flag, disrespecting the American flag. But you know what? I'll fight. I'll die for your right to do so.
Well, my thing is, I don't understand why there's even a spotlight on it. Like during the national anthem, why did the cameraman or the guy in the director's booth decide, you know what, camera four, put a spotlight on Jay-Z and Beyonce. This
because they weren't standing up, they were sitting down. That's
why
they did
it. But it was the national anthem. They didn't have to put a spotlight. They could have filmed the woman singing. They could have filmed the color guards holding the flag. There was so many other things in that stadium that they could have put on camera. But at some point, the director said, all right, camera four, now you get Jay-Z and Beyonce, and they flashed it. Now, all of a sudden, it's a big deal. I guarantee you, if the cameraman didn't put that on TV, we would not be talking about it now, because them sitting for the national anthem literally doesn't change anything. The game kept on going. Everybody's going to work today. Nobody died. Nobody got injured. And we're even talking about it now. It's really not that big of a deal. They have the right to sit or stand however they choose. And I get it that some people don't like it, but I think we're starting to get to this point where we care about so much of what other people do that is hindering us from the bigger picture, which is it's a free country.
Coleman, you know why? You know why the producer said, hey, cameraman four, get a shot of Jay-Z and Beyonce? Because they were sitting down. If they were standing up, the producer wouldn't have even gone there.
So
the producer would not even have shown them during the national anthem if they were standing
up. So let's say they were standing up and somebody else was sitting down. That's not Jay-Z and Beyonce. Let's say Gus and Frida, who just happened to be Kansas City fans, were in the stands as well, and they're not standing up either. They're sitting down with the cameraman.
Nobody cares because nobody knows who Gus and Frida, Kansas City fans, are.
They could have got the same treatment. We're making way too much of a big deal about it, and it's really not that important in the grand scheme of things. We're making it more like, all right, like you said, it was the lead story today. Why? Why? There's a lot of things going on in the world. We could have talked about the halftime show. We could have talked about Mahomes, MVP, performance. We could have talked about a whole lot of other things, but now this is the main thing that we're talking about today, just because camera four decided to pan at Jay-Z and Beyonce, and it brings back all the whole controversy again with Colin Kaepernick kneeling and that whole deal with I remember we was at a Pelicans game one time, and they had a guy sitting down for the national anthem. You're like, man, it really bothered me.
Guy sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
He was in our row, and I said, really? You're not standing up for the national
but
anthem?
But he has a right to. And I remember you being bothered about that. I'm like, look, the guy's not killing nobody. He's not hurting nobody. We're going to enjoy the game regardless of whether he sat or stood up. It didn't matter at the end of the day. But I get some people are proud of their country. That's okay. I'm proud of my country, too. But I'm also proud of the fact that we can sit, stand, kneel, sleep, whatever we want to do during the national anthem, because we have those freedoms. And it just bothers me that we're making this much of a big deal about something that's literally not changing anything in the world.
It's not changing anything, but a country that has made, that has helped propel those two people, Jay-Z and Beyonce, to epic-like status. A country that has helped make them so rich and so famous that they would then on the biggest stage, when the most people are watching, they would then basically give the middle finger to the United States of America.
And they have that right as American citizens.
They do have that right to do that.
And that should be the end of the story.
But don't be surprised that people are talking about it, Coleman.
I'm not surprised.
They just crapped on a country, on its biggest stage, on a country that has helped make them so rich and so famous that some people would say, wow, that's interesting that they wouldn't stand up for. And especially after Jay-Z was brought on by the NFL after the Colin Kaepernick situation to help ease things within the quote-unquote the community.
See, I get that point, but now, all right, once again, had we just ignored it and not be triggered by it, it wouldn't have made a difference. You know, I get it. He did go talk to the NFL, and a lot of people on Twitter were mad at Jay-Z, saying he's a sellout. He should stand up for Kaepernick. The fact that he even met with the NFL
showed, he should sit down for Kaepernick.
Yeah, or sit down for Kaepernick. The fact that he even met with the NFL was like betrayal. And once again, now we're bringing it back again. I was happy when we stopped talking about the whole Colin Kaepernick thing. I was happy when Kaepernick tried to try out and he wanted to bring his own camera crew. I was upset. Like, why are we bringing this back again? Can we just let it die?
Well, look, text us if you think it's a big deal or if you don't think it. Look, personally, like I said, every soldier that I ever know, that I've ever known, that I've ever spoken to, that I've ever read anything about, would say that any American soldier would say that, sure, we don't like it when people disrespect the country, disrespect the flag, but I will die for their right to do so. Give us a text. How do you feel about, again, Jay-Z and Beyonce crapping on this country, giving this country the finger. The country that helped propel them to be the king and the queen of the community, the king and the queen of music. And how do you feel about that? Do you feel it's not that big of a deal? Again, is it the biggest deal? No, but it is something. On the biggest stage, two of the biggest, most famous people in America, crapping on our flag and crapping on the United States of America by disrespecting it. Text us, please, and do not text while you drive. 260-9595.
Standard data and message rate supply.
Keep it short and sweet and put your first name or your initials at the end of the text. And if it's good, we will read it on the show. Was it a big deal about what happened yesterday? Good ball game, though. And how about Patrick Mahomes? Pretty great first 3 years of his professional career. Here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Did you enjoy the Super Bowl yesterday? Did you not watch the game? Because the Saints weren't in it. It was a good ball game. And for much of the game, it looked like the old adage was going to ring true. Defense, a good solid defense, will be the good solid offense. And for much of that game yesterday, that's what happened with the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Niners defense for about three quarters looked like it had Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs had him under control. But then in the fourth quarter, Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes, and he led the Chiefs. He led them to those two touchdown scoring drives in the fourth quarter, and they scored another touchdown in the fourth quarter as well.
What I found amazing about this Friday, I asked you how the game was going to go and like whether you're going to go for Kansas City or San Francisco, and the way you were processing it in your head was exactly how the game played out. You're like, it's hard to, defense wins games, so it seems like the defense was going to win the game, but then you say, but it's hard to bet against Patrick Mahomes. And then Patrick Mahomes, like literally the way you described it in your brain is how the Super Bowl played
out. How about
out.
That, Coleman?
Yeah, I remember that vividly.
I said that, no, I said, look, they, and not just football, but whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, hockey, especially the deeper in the playoffs you go, they always say a solid defense will beat a solid offense. And that's exactly what happened for three quarters, and then all of a sudden, the fourth quarter, it's like Mahomes figured out what San Francisco was doing defensively, and he led the Kansas City Chiefs to a big fourth quarter, come from behind Super Bowl victory, and good for him. That kid's incredible. That 3 years he's been in the NFL now. He's got one Super Bowl championship, and he won the MVP, the most valuable player of the Super Bowl. And then last year, he didn't win the Super Bowl, but he won the most valuable player during the regular season. And so his resume is looking pretty damn sweet as we sit here this morning. And what about the halftime show? what's interesting, what I got out of it is the NFL, they had a lot bigger issue with a woman's breast than they do with a woman's backside crack. Because Jennifer Lopez, the 50-year-old Jennifer Lopez, she looked fantastic. And so does Shakira, by the way. They looked incredible, both of them. And I'm not the biggest fan of their genre of music, but that's what I guess more people like that than definitely rock and roll. You know, I saw a couple people after and during the halftime show say, well, hey, AC/DC's touring this year. Why couldn't they have AC/DC? People would have ripped AC/DC. I mean, go back a decade. Paul McCartney played the halftime show, and he got ripped.
Why, though? Why do you think they would rip AC/DC? I mean, like you said, J-Lo's 50, and AC/DC's around the same age. Just because of the genre of music?
Because of the genre of music, Coleman. And because AC/DC, they're old and white. You know, Paul McCartney was old and white, even though arguably the greatest rock and roll songwriter who ever lived. But he got ripped. But when Paul McCartney played the Super Bowl halftime show, he got ripped.
I think AC/DC would have smashed the halftime performance. Here's why. Because with the younger generation, AC/DC is making a resurgence because of all the Marvel movies. Like the Marvel movies, Iron Man, you know, the superheroes, they play a lot of AC/DC songs in those movies, whether it's Back in Black, Thunderstruck, TNT. A lot of those songs featured, and the Led Zeppelin song too, featured in some of these Marvel movies. So I think the younger generation, when they heard AC/DC play it, they could say, hey, I heard that song on the Spider-Man movie. I heard that song in the Iron Man movie. I know who these guys are. I think that would have helped.
No, maybe. but rock and roll on the big stage will always take a back seat to top 40.
Yeah.
Because more people know top 40 music, top 40 songs than they know rock and roll. So that's just a fact. Pretty enjoyable Super Bowl. And something that made a lot of news is the fact that Jay-Z and his wife Beyonce did not stand up for the national anthem while Demi Lovato was singing that before the game. And I saw a bunch of people get upset about that. And again, every military man that I've ever spoken with, every military man that I've ever read anything about has always said, look, you know, you can disrespect our flag. You can light it on fire. You can spit on it. You can do whatever you want, even though they don't like that. But they will die for your right to do that. And I felt the same way, if you ask me. I mean, look, Jay-Z and Beyonce, they could do whatever the hell they want to do. It's their right as an American to do that. But what was interesting is Jay-Z was brought in by the NFL in the wake of the Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem fiasco. He was brought in by the NFL to try to make things all right, and then they didn't stand up for that yesterday. And we asked you to text us if you had an opinion about that.
All right. This texter says, I think Jay-Z and Beyonce sat for attention so we could be talking about it today. They know they're a powerhouse couple, and they knew it would get them some more attention.
Yeah.
Charles says, yes, it's horrible that they didn't stand up for the flag of our country, and that has made them so famous and showed them so much love for them acting foolishly. I like this one. The only athlete in history that could take a knee is Tonya Harding. Right.
It's one thing about Colin Kaepernick. He brought that woman's name back into the forefront.
Okay. Mary says, it's simple as this. The Super Bowl is not a place to make your political opinions known. They are paid to perform and entertain. Let's see. This guy says, why acknowledge this? I agree with this guy. Why acknowledge the fact that Jay-Z and B didn't stand for the national anthem? You're only feeding their ego. Instead, acknowledge the 100-year veterans. And that's the point I was trying to make earlier. Like, why even give it attention? Let's say they did sit down for the national anthem, but the guy in the director's booth just decided not to put a camera on it. That could have been so much of an easy fix. Instead of putting the camera on them and showing them that they're sitting down for the national anthem, the director or the guy in the control booth could have easily just ignored it, panned to something else, and we would not be talking about it now.
Well, look, again, the only reason the producer put the camera on them is because they were not standing. If they were standing, the camera probably wouldn't have gone on them.
Yeah, so now we're feeding the trolls. Mm-hmm. They're contributing to the outrage, you know, that people are feeling. One more. I feel that people who don't want to stand for our freedom, then they shouldn't live in the USA.
Well, look. I don't agree with them not standing for the national anthem, but I do agree that's their right. Right. That's their right in the greatest country in the world. We're not perfect, but we're the greatest country in the world, and you have the right to crap on the flag if you want to crap on the flag. And look, military men, they don't like the fact that you will do that, but they will die for your right to do that.
And then we're assuming their motives. We didn't talk to Jay-Z and Beyonce and ask why they didn't stand. It could have been a myriad. Maybe they weren't protesting the country or the flag. Maybe there was something. Maybe they were protesting that the NFL and them couldn't have a deal, and they were soured about it. We don't really know why they decided to sit down.
Well, keep texting, and again, keep them short and sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end of the text, and if it's good, we'll read it on the air, and please don't text while you're driving. Your reactions to yesterday's Super Bowl, it's a big deal in America, and not just the game, everything else that goes around the Super Bowl as well. And we have a big deal going on right now here in New Orleans, is our mayor and her husband, who are tax cheats. The IRS has to chase them down pretty much every year for upwards of the last decade to pay that they owe over $95,000 in taxes. She is speaking out about it. And our mayor is saying that, look, I'm not the only one in New Orleans. There's a lot of people in New Orleans that have a tough time paying their taxes. And, yeah, but the rest of those people don't make over $200,000 a year like you and your husband, Ms. Mayor. We'll get into that coming up on the show as well. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. For winning the Super Bowl, each member of the Kansas City Chiefs got $124,000 and a Super Bowl ring, while each member of the San Francisco 49ers got $62,000 and a participation trophy. He's got to get something, you know? Coming up next on the show, the mayor of New Orleans, she's trying to defend the fact that she owes over $95,000 in income tax. Did you hear what she said on Friday afternoon when she was interviewed? We'll get to that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. John Osterlund here with you. And on Friday's show, we talked a bunch about the fact that the mayor of New Orleans, the history-making mayor of New Orleans, because she's the first female ever to be mayor of the great city of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell, who I've always called LaTweeta because she loves Twitter. She loves to tweet. She retweets. She likes things. She's hashtagging. She loves Twitter. But LaTweeta was making news for all the wrong reasons because a story broke how her and her husband, who's a lawyer, they owe the IRS, the federal government, $95,000
cha-ching
unpaid income tax for 8 out of the last 9 tax years. So this isn't just a one-time issue. These two, they have a big problem with paying income tax. Well, the person who broke this story is a friend of the show, a guy who, when I used to be on during the afternoon, he used to come on the show regularly. He's the investigative reporter and the main primetime anchor over there at Fox 8 here in New Orleans, the great Lee Zurich.
Yeah!
Lee! Lee! He broke the story, and we were talking about it on Friday, and then evidently on Friday, he followed up, and he wanted to interview LaTweeta Cantrell, who I now call LaTaxta Cantrell. Because, again, this isn't a one-time thing. This is a pattern of over the last decade of her and her husband not paying taxes. She released a statement on Friday morning, which we read on the show on Friday. And she was basically saying, look, it's a private issue. I'm upset that this private issue that my family's dealing with, this debt, has gone public. Well, wait a minute. You're the sitting mayor of a major American city, New Orleans, and you have not paid income tax almost every year for the last decade. That should be public. That is something that we need to know. And then she tried saying, "Well, I'm like a lot of New Orleanians who have a tough time, paying off debt or paying their bills." Well, here's the difference between you, Lataxta, and your constituents that you are now comparing yourself to. Your constituents don't have a combined income of over $200,000 a year, like you and your husband do. That's where you're different than your constituents. Well, I guess Lee Zurich, friend of the show, he tracked her down, and it was.
Can you comment on why you haven't been able to pay your taxes? In you owe nearly $100,000 in taxes. Why you weren't able to pay those?
Actually, most is associated with fines and penalties, and it's been an ongoing issue. And a tax attorney has been secured previously to help my husband and I get to a settlement and therefore pay.
Stop. When people talk like this, it drives me crazy. When they finish their sentences, going up with their vocabulary.
Wait, isn't she originally from California, like where the Vallagher accent originated from?
Yes, Coleman. Lataxta is originally from California. So now she's saying her and her husband don't even owe that much. They don't even owe that much. No, it's just penalties. It's late fees and fines and penalties. So you don't really even owe that much. You're saying it's all because of fines and penalties?
Well, she got the fines and she got the penalties because she didn't pay it when it was like lower, She should have paid it when it was lower. But I like this part where she's trying to relate to the people saying she has enough. She's like them. She's a victim.
Well, first of all, I will say that this is an issue that has been disclosed by me personally and also being worked on personally. As it relates to city government and running, we have not misstepped at all, and there will be no missteps in the Cantrell administration, as we have routinely proven. As it relates to trust, I will say that the people of this city, they have a mayor that really gets it and who's experiencing challenges and difficulties her own self, and at the same time doing what it takes to meet the needs of people.
All right.
So we're really not tax cheats, even though we haven't paid our income taxes in 8 of the last 9 years? We're just like everybody else who has problems with debt? Oh, my God. So she doesn't owe that many taxes. It's all fines and it's all penalties. And then she says, "Well, I'm just like a lot of the people here in New Orleans who have a tough time with debt." Yeah, but those people, Lataxta, they're not like you and your husband who make over $200,000 a year.
Yeah, here's the thing. She's saying she can relate to her constituents because she has the same problems as her constituents. But if you want somebody to run your city, do you want somebody to have the same problems as you do?
Of course
not.
Or do
you want somebody that has the solutions to the problem that you're going through? Saying that you have the same problems that they have, it's like the blind leading the blind. You want somebody that does not have the same problems, or if they did have the same problems, they find a solution out of it, and now they can guide everybody else out of those problems. You don't want that person that's going through the same thing you're going through. Y'all both in the mud trying to figure it all out.
No, we don't want the person who's running a city of about 400,000 people. She's in charge of all of that city and all of those people. We don't want her to not be able to pay her income taxes over the last decade. Almost every year, upwards of the last 10 years. She's a habitual tax scofflaw, and she's running the city of New Orleans.
I wonder what her tax experts are trying to tell her. Like she said, she hired some tax attorneys and some tax experts. All they can say is, pay it. Like, what other expertise do you need other than you might want to pay your taxes? Yeah. If I went to a tax expert right now and told them how I had trouble, they would say, you know what you should do? What should I do? Maybe you should just pay your taxes.
Yeah, that's it. Do you need a tax lawyer expert to tell you that? I want to look up and see her on one of the Fast Tax television commercials. You've seen those commercials. I just love Fast Tax. I'm Lataxta Cantrell. I got my $95,000 loan repayment check right after I walked in. That'd be something if we saw her on the Fast Tax commercial.
Or we could refer to Optimal Tax Relief.
It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. New Orleans, live and local morning show. On the radio. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. So yesterday, the winning bets turned out to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the under with the total amount of points scored. The over-under was what, the total amount of points? It ended at 51 with the Chiefs winning the game 31-20. And the number, I believe, was 54 or 54 and a half. So it was just under. And we told you about a couple of the proposition bets you could do. And the one that I mentioned last week on the show when we were talking about the proposition bets was there was one bet that you could bet the total amount of players to throw a forward pass would either be under or over 2.5. Now, the first thing you're thinking about is what, there's two quarterbacks, one on each team. So each of them are going to throw a forward pass. That's two players. And the only way it's going over that number of 2.5 is if they did some sort of flea flicker, halfback option, something like that, or one of the quarterbacks got injured and they had to bring a quarterback in off the bench. And if he would have thrown a forward pass, those are the only ways that number could have gotten over 2.5. And I remember saying on the show last week, Coleman, I said, I couldn't imagine making that bet and then just waiting for someone to throw, a third person to throw a forward pass, and you'd have to wait the whole game. And well, come to find out, that number, that bet was under the 2.5 players, because only the two starting quarterbacks, the one for each team, threw a forward pass. Though early in the game, early in the first quarter, they tried a flea flicker, and the wide receiver wanted to pass the ball, but there was no one open, so we held on to it. And so that was it. But that the winning bet of that proposition bet of the total amount of quarterbacks throwing a forward pass, it was under 2.5.
Could you imagine that guy in Vegas that saw the flea flicker and he got excited because that's what he put his money on? And now the flea, like, right, he passes the flea flicker. Now his adrenaline is rushing. Oh, he's about to do it. And then nothing happens.
He didn't get it. The receiver did not throw the ball downfield because that player was covered. So that was one interesting proposition bet. Another interesting proposition bet, you could have bet if Demi Lovato sang the national anthem under 2 minutes or over 2 minutes. And that was just a regular proposition bet. You could have bet $100. You could have bet $1,000. You could have bet $10,000 on the over-under of Demi Lovato singing the national anthem. It was actually barely under 2 minutes.
Now, the one that I put everything on was the color of the Gatorade that was going to be thrown on the coach. I went with grape. Come to find out, it was orange.
What did I tell you?
You was right.
I said it's either always orange or lime green. I said that last week when we were talking
about
the
prospect. How did the coach never see it coming at the end of the game? How did it, like, after 50 years of football, you would be like, okay, the Gatorade is coming sooner or later. They never seem to be wise enough to, like, have eyes in the back of their head.
Those proposition bets are always fun, and they're legal, and you can, Las Vegas sets those lines too. But the over-under on the national anthem, it was under 2 minutes. It was 1 minute and 50 seconds. So, fun stuff. Coming up next, we will look at today in history. We call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity? Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media? Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's time for us to look at today in history. And we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
February 3rd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1959. Today was the day that the music died. Today was the plane crash that took the lives of Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper.
Oh.
That was a pretty big deal. A plane crash taking out three rock and roll stars like that. And today would go on to be immortalized in song. One of the great songs ever written, American Pie, by Don McLean. And I always wondered, if he wrote such a great song like that, how come he couldn't write another one? He's had a few other good songs, but nothing like American Pie, the day the music died. But that happened today. February 3rd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1993. New Orleans native and Grammy award-winning singer and pianist, Harry Connick Jr. He entered a plea bargain with New York authorities stemming from when he was arrested in December for having a gun in his carry-on luggage at Kennedy Airport in New York City. Under the plea bargain, which happened today in 1993, Harry Connick Jr. Did not have to plead guilty to the crime. He avoided going to jail, and he had to make, at his own expense, a public service announcement about carrying guns in New York City.
That's crazy. Yeah, a PSA about how not to practice your First Amendment right.
Second Amendment right.
Second Amendment right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, Coleman. But Harry Connick Jr. Had to do that. February 3rd.
Why today doesn't suck?
It was today in 1998. Pearl Jam released their fifth album, Yield, and it was the first album they ever released that didn't go to number one on the Billboard 200 album charts. It made it to number two, but it didn't make it to number one. Good album, and you know, you look at those first few Pearl Jam albums that were released. Always said those first two that they released were incredible. I guess the streak has to come to an end at some time. Everything you release going to number one. But that happened today in 1998. And finally, February 3rd.
Why today doesn't suck?
The number one song in America today was Centerfold by the Jay Giles Band in 1982. That was the number one song in America in 1982, and that was the biggest success they ever had. Unlike Pearl Jam, Jay Giles had put out a bunch of albums that never even came close to number one. But today in 1982, they had the number one song in America with Centerfold, which is a pretty...
Yeah, the Angel and the Centerfold, I get it.
Yeah, that was the number one song in America. And that's our segment that we call...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up on the show, more on yesterday's Super Bowl. Yeah, it was a real good game, entertaining. It lived up to its billing. And actually, in this year's Super Bowl, both teams deserved to be there. Unlike last year with the Rams, who didn't deserve to be there. The Saints should have been in there last year, but we all know that. We're trying to move forward. We don't want to look back. But more on the Super Bowl, and what a lot of people aren't talking about, you know, obviously most people are talking about the halftime show, and boy, 50 years old doesn't look like it used to look, does it? When you look at J-Lo and you're on that pole with her butt crack. And obviously the FCC had no problem with butt cracks in the halftime show like they do with women's breasts.
Yeah, because butt cracks are non-gender specific. Everybody has it, so there's no sexuality involved in it. I'm guessing.
But you would think nipples are non-gender.
I would think so as well.
Because last year, Maroon 5, when we saw the singer Adam Levine, we saw his nipples all over the place. But there were, to me, that was sexist.
It is. I'm with you. Hashtag free the nipple, you know?
Yeah, that was sexist. It's okay for guys to show their nipples, but women, God forbid, they can't do it.
Well, it's funny, it was the memes after that. They had Adam Levine with pasties on. They blurred it out. Like, a lot of people went online and started blurting out his chest area.
And I thought yesterday, at the end of the first half, was one of the biggest coaching blunders in Super Bowl history. The coach of the San Francisco 49ers deciding in a tie game at the end of the first half, we don't need to score in the final minute and a half of the first half. We could just let that clock roll all the way down. Did you see that?
I didn't catch that last part.
Well, you worked yesterday,
yeah.
Didn't you? Because you do another job as well. You deliver chicken wings.
Yeah, I was providing a service while everybody else was enjoying the Super Bowl. I was providing them with their chicken wing spreads and stuff. So I had to sacrifice watching the Super Bowl to serve the people their food for the halftime parties.
But you weren't just sacrificing. You did all right because you would think you would do all right financially.
Yes. Yes. Made a lot in tips last night.
On a day doing that. Well, those stories coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You know, obviously people after the Super Bowl talk about the halftime show. They talk about the game. They talk about the commercials. They talk about this happens every year. But I'll tell you something during that game that happened yesterday. I mean, besides Patrick Mahomes being great, and you know, as we said on the show last week, I'd mentioned that, you know, when you have a great defense playing against a great offense, you would lean towards, history tells us to lean towards the defense. Whether it's football, baseball, basketball, usually in the end, especially when you get deep into the playoffs, into the championship, usually history tells us that defense, a great defense, will beat a great offense. And for three quarters yesterday, that happened with the San Francisco 49ers. But then in the fourth quarter, Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes. And showed us why you don't want to bet against Patrick Mahomes, something I had mentioned last week on the show. And he led his team to, they scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. He specifically led them for the first two touchdowns. But they scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and they won the game. But there was a coaching blunder yesterday of epic proportions. Shanahan, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, at the end of the first half, with about a minute and a half to go, stopped Kansas City. And he had all three of his timeouts left. And with about a minute and a half to go in the first half, they were getting the ball back. But he did not call timeout when they stopped Kansas City on third down, letting Kansas City run another 30 seconds off the clock. So now it gets to underneath a minute left to when they're getting the ball back. And they get the ball back. Remember, he had all of his three timeouts. So he could have used one of his timeouts, stopped the clock with a minute and a half, and gotten the ball back with two timeouts left in the first half. But he didn't do that. He just let the clock roll, let Kansas City kill the time. So now they get the ball back at the end of the first half with under a minute to go in a tie game. And they have all their timeouts left. And he says, I'm just going to run the clock out. And he turns and he hands the ball off. And now the clock's running. And now he's showing everybody in a 10-10 tie with all of his timeouts left, a minute to go in the half. He's just going to go into the locker room. He's happy going into the locker room tied 10-10. Well, a couple of things happened. And I think he realized, oh, my God, what did I do with all of this time and all of my timeouts left? And then he throws a 40-something yard bomb down the right sideline to their great tight end, George Kittle. And Kittle is called for offensive pass interference for pushing off with his right arm. Some said that was a controversial call. It looked a lot like the same kind of play that ended the Saints season when the Minnesota tight end, Kyle Rudolph, pushed off when he caught the game-winning touchdown pass. They didn't call that in the Saints playoff game against Minnesota. But they did call it against Kittle and San Francisco. They called offensive pass interference, and some people agreed with that. Other people didn't agree with that call.
Now, the one call that I saw most people blowing up on Facebook was when the receiver had the ball, but one of his foot looked like it could have been out of bounds while the edge of the ball could have broke the plane and it was over the pylon.
But that was a touchdown. That was a legitimate touchdown.
Okay, because it looked kind of fishy, though, from certain angles.
That was a legitimate touchdown.
So was that blunder, you think, worse than the Marshawn Lynch one when he could have gave it to Marshawn Lynch and ran right through?
I thought that was the biggest blunder in Super Bowl history when the Seattle Seahawks decided to pass the ball on the 1 yard line instead of running it to Marshawn Lynch, and the New England Patriots intercepted that ball, and I thought that was the biggest blown call, the biggest blunder of a call in Super Bowl history.
I just wanted to make sure you were in agreement because the one yesterday wasn't as bad as the
Marshawn. This is right up there, though. I think it's right below the Marshawn Lynch, like not running Marshawn Lynch. Them not calling a timeout in a tie game. It was 10-10 in a tie game, or in a real close game in the first half. There was a minute and a half to go. They had all their timeouts left, and they were getting the ball back, and they decided, we'll just let them run the clock out, and then we won't call a timeout, and then we'll just run the clock out, and we won't use the timeouts. But then all of a sudden, a couple of things happened. They decided to change, and then they threw the bomb downfield to the tight end, which was a completed pass, but they called offensive pass interference on the tight end, Kittle, for pushing off, and that was fairly controversial. But I thought not calling timeout and letting the clock wind down at the end of the first half in such a close game like that. And it came back to bite them. It did come back to bite the San Francisco 49ers in the end. They could have used points on that particular drive looking back. But I don't know if that coaching gaffe, if that coaching mistake by Shanahan, I don't know if that's getting as much play as, the halftime show. The 50-year-old woman, J-Lo, seeing her butt crack several times like that, and that wasn't a big deal for the FCC. They didn't care about that.
It's weird how after the actual big game, we're talking about everything else but the actual game itself.
That's why it's America's national pastime. It's the biggest day for the national pastime, football. It's the most popular sport in America. And so it's America's almost like a football holiday. Mm-hmm. And that's why all the other ancillary things that go on around the game get so much coverage. Because it's almost as if we're celebrating an unofficial holiday, our most popular sport, our pastime, and this is what it is. So and look, the other thing that made a lot of news, and if you want to comment on anything we're talking about, please text us and let us know how you feel. But the fact that during the national anthem, Jay-Z and his wife Beyonce did not stand up for the national anthem. And the reason, again, look, it's their right to do that. They can do that. But it's also people's right to have an opinion about what they did. And what's interesting about Jay-Z and Beyonce not standing for the national anthem, the NFL brought Jay-Z in to try to make things right and make things better after the Colin Kaepernick fiasco with him taking a knee during the national anthem. But then Jay-Z, he didn't take a knee. Him and his wife just didn't stand up. And again, I said this before and I'll say it again. Every military man that I've ever spoken with, man and woman, would tell you, sure, they're not happy about that, but they would die. They would die for your right to disrespect the American flag and disrespect this country. It's one of the great things about our country. In other countries, you do something like that, you get killed. You get shot in the head. So if you have an opinion about any of that stuff from yesterday's Super Bowl, America's football holiday, text us 260-9595. Keep them short and sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end of the text, and if it's good, we'll read it on the air, and please do not text while you're driving.
And standard data and message rates apply.
We also have other things going on the show today about our tax scofflaw mayor and her husband here in New Orleans, and we're going to tell you about this couple that got thrown off of an airplane because they stunk, and they're saying that their religious beliefs were trampled on. Boy, a lot going on this morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, New Orleans live and local morning radio show here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. We'll get back to the Super Bowl stuff coming up. But I saw this story, and I wanted to tell you about it because it's something else. Have you ever been on an airplane and someone stunk really bad and they were sitting close to you, whether it was next to you, in front of you, or behind you? Someone really, really stunk bad? Ooh, that smell. I mean, and that stinks. Well, this family who was kicked off of a flight because they stunk, they are now suing American Airlines. A Michigan couple kicked off an American Airlines flight last year because of their body odor, filed a federal lawsuit against American Airlines, claiming they were victims of religious and racial discrimination.
I apologize to the Jews.
Yeah, evidently these were, it's the Adler couple, Yeshuda Yosef Adler and Jenny Adler, said they suffered from unbearable humiliation, embarrassment, and mental and emotional anguish after being removed from a Detroit-bound flight that was going from Miami, Florida to Detroit, Michigan last January in 2019. The couple was on the flight with their daughter, who was only 19 months old. They are Orthodox Jews. And I lived in Miami Beach for 5 years. I owned a bar and a restaurant. The building I lived on, which was right on Collins Avenue, right on the ocean, it had a lot of Orthodox Jewish people in the building. And you could tell because they would dress in all black. And they would, the guys would have the beards, the long beards, and they would have the hair that would go down looked like it was braided, but the hair would go down the sides of their faces. And I always wondered if they're going to dress like that. And the women were always fully covered up. Out of all the places they could live, they're living on the beach. They're living on the ocean. They're living in a building which is literally on the ocean in Miami Beach, Florida. Yet they have to be covered up all the time. Men and women, especially women, and they're sitting out on the beach and they're covered up from the top of their head to the tip of their toes. And I'm thinking to myself, out of all the places you could live, you're living here on the beach, on the ocean, yet you have to be covered up.
I think, this is just my speculation, I don't know, I'm not a Jew, but I think the tax laws in Florida are more congruent to the Jewish lifestyle. I think that has a lot to do with why they all go to Florida. A lot of businesses go to Florida and Texas because of tax laws, and I think that might have something to do. I'm speculating. I do not know. But if I had to guess why Florida, of all places, either it looks great or it feels good or there's some tax laws that gives them an incentive to move to Florida.
Well, this couple who was on the airplane from Miami to Detroit last year and they were kicked off because they stunk and people were complaining. Now they're saying that they're claiming religious and racial discrimination.
Now, you told me for religious reasons you don't shower, is that what you said?
No, I didn't. I shower every day.
Today.
So what did you say?
I said you kicked me off because of religious reasons.
We don't have showers. You can't complain that we have odor. Seriously.
No, I did not say that. You said you were giving me my stuff back.
No, I never said that.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
My wife is here, and
that's,
and we can ask
him.
Okay. Sir, I'm trying to stay calm.
So what the guy from the airline said was, wait, you don't shower because of religious reasons? And he's saying, old Yeshuda Yosef Adler is saying, no, we shower every day. And look, the bottom line is, did they stink or did they not stink? See, now these people are bringing in religious and racial discrimination, much like our mayor, our tax cheat of a mayor, Letax de Cantrell, is saying that, well, I have a lot of the same problems that that a lot of New Orleanians have. You know, we have a tough debt, and we're working to pay it off. No, you owe over $95,000 in income tax. You haven't paid it in upwards of a decade, year after year after year, for 8 out of the last 9 years. Letax, the federal government has to put a lien on your property because you do not pay your taxes.
Well, in the court of
so stop bringing up all these other reasons. Much like, look, do you pay your taxes or you don't pay your taxes? If you don't pay your taxes, then stop with all these other reasons. Do you stink or don't you stink?
In a court of public opinion, clearly they stink because a lot of people were making public complaints about them. They complained to the airline, and the airline
must have agreed with him because they were like, yeah, you guys have to get out. Now, the question is the reason why they had that odor based on because of their religious practices? Like, do they shower with a certain type of soap, or are there certain things that they do just because of their religious practices? I think that's the mystery question. Like, is their odor due to their religious practices?
And look, as someone who lived in a building with many Orthodox Jewish people in Miami Beach, you know, it got really hot, and they're all covered up, and they wear the black, and they have the long hair, and they have the long beards. But I don't remember whether being on an elevator with them or sitting out by the pool with them or sitting on the ocean with them. I don't remember a funky smell. I don't remember them smelling. But although you could see how they're sweating because, again, they're in Miami. The humidity is incredible. Yet they have to be, because of their religion, they have to be covered up from head to toe, and all the facial hair and the long hair, and they got black all over them. You know, and I'm just sitting out there in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see if this lawsuit goes anywhere. I mean, look, if they were kicked off the plane because they stunk, that's fine. And that should hold up in any court of law. If I was on that airplane and they stunk, I would want them kicked off. It had nothing to do with the fact that they're really religious Jewish people. And you could tell that by looking at them, by the way they dress. But no, that had nothing to do with the fact that you stunk.
And then we have to go to, now, after they got kicked off of that particular flight, did the airline give them special accommodations so they could catch another flight where there was less people so they can get to where they was trying to go?
How could the airline put them on any other flight if they just kicked them off because they stunk?
There's other flights with less people, you know, smaller airplanes they could have used that maybe have gone in that direction. I don't know. They could have special accommodations, or maybe they just was forced to bathe put in another flight where people were less complaining about this smell.
Look, I think we live in a much too litigious society. I think most of the lawsuits that you see out there are frivolous. People are just trying to make a buck. And look, in this particular case, I don't want to see anybody get stamped on because of their religious beliefs, or I don't want to see anybody get stamped on for racial reasons. But if these people stunk, they stunk. They have to own up to the fact that they stunk and they were removed for a plane. Just like our mayor has to own up to the fact that she's a tax cheat. And she has been one for 8 out of the last 9 years. That's not normal. That's not normal for anybody, especially someone who's the mayor of a city of 400,000 people. How is she supposed to take care of the city that she's the mayor of if she can't take care of her own personal taxes, her and her husband? That's an issue.
Well, we'll see what happens here with this lawsuit. But these people were thrown off of an airplane. American Airlines says because they stunk. And now they're saying, oh, no, it's not because we stunk. It was for religious and racial discrimination. So isn't it funny how you could look at a story and there are different sides to the same story?
The weirdest thing about it is that the entire family stunk. It wasn't just like the dad or the mom or the kid. It was the entire family. They all shared the same scent.
Boy, both Shakira and J-Lo looked fantastic yesterday, didn't they? J-Lo's butt was unbelievable. And that butt crack on my 50-inch television, wow, that was something. But evidently, the NFL didn't have a problem with that. Stay tuned. Coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. I know a lot of people talk about the commercials for the Super Bowl, and there were some entertaining ones. Do you realize that for this year's Super Bowl, advertisers paid $5.6 million for a 30-second commercial?
Cha-ching!
Man, did I feel guilty going to the bathroom. Every time there was a break in the action, I said, excuse me for 1 second, I'll be right back. And it's just all of that money that people are spending to get their points across, but I'm going to run to the toilet. Got to go sometime, right? I don't want to miss the game. All right, coming up next on the show, we're still waiting, and we're going to know within the next 3 or 4 weeks if Drew Brees is coming back for another year here in New Orleans. I think he's going to come back for another year. But Taysom Hill did an interview. He spoke to someone from Yahoo Sports, and he had a couple of interesting things to say. Did you hear that over Super Bowl weekend? Coming up next on the show, we will play you what Taysom Hill had to say.
in this interview and realize he's going to be 30 years old when this next upcoming football season starts. And that's great in life. It's a nice young age. But in the NFL, especially when you're waiting to be a quarterback, coming up next, you will hear from Taysom Hill, in case you missed what he said over the weekend, about him wanting to be a starting quarterback. And we're still waiting to see if Drew Brees is coming back for another year. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning, John Osterlind here with you. And the Super Bowl lived up to its hype. It was a really good game. And the Kansas City Chiefs ended up beating the San Francisco 49ers. Although, for much of that game, the San Francisco 49ers defense, at least for the first three quarters, they did a good job. And they held Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes in check. And then the fourth quarter, something changed. Patrick Mahomes figured something out. And he did it. He brought his team back. Big fourth quarter. And one thing during that game that we saw, one of the worst coaching blunders we've ever seen in a Super Bowl. I mean, I think it's right behind the coaching blunder of the Seattle Seahawks a few years ago when they had the ball on the 1 yard line and they decided to try to, late in the fourth quarter, try to throw the ball in the end zone against the New England Patriots, and Russell Wilson was intercepted and that won a Super Bowl for the New England Patriots instead of handing the ball off to Marshawn Lynch. They would have had a couple of chances to run the ball in from the 1 yard line. In my opinion, that was the biggest Super Bowl coaching blunder ever. But what happened yesterday at the end of the first half with about 90 seconds left, a full minute and a half to go in the first half, and San Francisco had all of their timeouts left. They just didn't use any of those timeouts, and they let the clock run almost all the way down. And then they tried right at the end of the first half to get something, and they threw the ball 40 yards down the field, and it was a completed pass to their great tight end, George Kittle, but George Kittle was called for offensive pass interference. He was called for pushing off with one arm. And so San Francisco wasn't even able to get a last-second field goal opportunity there after they let almost the entire minute and a half with all of their timeouts. They let all of that time just go away.
Tony asks, I was just wondering if any of the other players could have called the timeout, or is only up to this idiot coach?
Well, I'm sure one of the players could have called timeout, but then he would have had to answer. He would have had an answer to the coach. Why are you calling timeout when I didn't tell you to call timeout? Their general manager, John Lynch, who was a good NFL player, he was a safety for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for many years. He now runs the San Francisco 49ers. They showed an image of him in the suite he was sitting in. He was using the hand signal, timeout, timeout, timeout. But his own coach wasn't listening to him, and his own coach wasn't doing that. Shanahan did not, for whatever reason, call timeout. He was happy to go into the locker room in a very tight game like they did. And then you look at what happened later in the game. He could have used that time at the end of the first half to try to score some points. I mean, look, the game lived up to its billing. It was a real good Super Bowl. I thought the halftime show, even though it's not really my favorite type of music, I thought Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, they both looked incredible. They looked incredible. And evidently, there was no issue with her outfit or lack thereof, because her butt cheeks were showing, and most of her butt crack was showing. It was going into everybody's living room and everybody who was watching it, but they didn't seem to have an issue with that. People talk. That's what they do. And now with social media, you're seeing lots of stuff coming from, whether it was the game or whether it was the halftime show or whether it was some of the commercials or whether it was what happened before the game even started with the national anthem, with Jay-Z and Beyonce not standing up for the national anthem. And look, that's their right to do that. They don't have to stand up. But what was interesting about that is the NFL brought in Jay-Z in the wake of the Colin Kaepernick kneeling during the national anthem fiasco. And now we have this. Also over the weekend, did you see Taysom Hill? Did an interview with someone from Yahoo Sports. And he seemed to make it pretty clear that he's ready to play quarterback now, even though we don't know if Drew Brees is coming back for one more season or not. I think Drew Brees is coming back for one more season. And the Saints, they want Drew Brees to come back for one more season, but if he doesn't, they've made their choice of who they want to replace him. They said they want Taysom Hill to be the guy, even though he's 2 years older than Teddy Bridgewater. All three of the Saints quarterbacks who were on the roster last year are free agents. It's a tough business decision they have to make. And, you know, it's interesting. Teddy Bridgewater is, even though he went 5-0 as the highest paid number two backup quarterback in the NFL last year, he went 5-0 as a starter. The Saints have seemed to make their decision that Taysom Hill is going to be the guy that they want to go with. They said that last week. But Taysom Hill said this when he was interviewed over the weekend by a Yahoo Sports reporter.
Ever since I was a little kid and started playing the quarterback position, the ultimate goal is to be a quarterback in the NFL, and that hasn't changed for me. The end goal is still to be a starter in the NFL. And so as I approach free agency and as I look at, you know, what that might look like, I think it's finding that balance of finding the right opportunity, you know, finding a team that has the same vision for me as I do myself, and quite frankly, I think that New Orleans is one of those places.
He would love to stay here. He wants to start, though. And when this football season starts, this upcoming season, he's going to be 30 years old. And if Drew Brees wants to come back for one more year, Taysom Hill got to wait one more year, wait till he's 31 to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You know there are other teams that want Taysom Hill. There are other teams that need a starting quarterback. So he's letting people know that he wants to start. He's ready to start. And will this make a difference? Will this have anything to do with Drew Brees' upcoming announcement in the next couple of weeks here, whether he's going to come back for another year or whether he's going to retire?
I remember we was talking about this last week, and a lot of the texters made the point that it's good that Teddy may go elsewhere because he always wanted to be a starting quarterback, and now he can get paid more money and lead a team if he doesn't stay for New Orleans. And because he had his tutelage with Drew Brees, so he kind of gets it, and he did pretty well, did 5-0, so he just has to find the right spot for him. The thing is, he might join a team that's in our division, so we have to play against him.
Well, Coleman, look, Saints had three solid quarterbacks on their roster last year. They're all free agents. They're not going to have all three of those guys on their roster this coming year, and they made the decision. We told you about it last week that they said, well, it looks like if we have to pick one, it looks like Taysom Hill's going to be the guy. But now all of a sudden, Taysom Hill's saying he's ready to go now, and is this going to force Drew Brees into retiring a year before he wants to?
Or is it going to force, if Drew Brees does come back, is that going to make Taysom Hill feel like, well, I'll try my options elsewhere because I do want to be a starting quarterback? Or do you think he'll take another year under Brees and get more, you know, knowledge, tutelage? Because even if, yeah, right, let's say Taysom Hill takes over, it's going to be a completely different scheme. He's not going to be Drew Brees. They have to accommodate his style.
Sure.
They have to move pieces around him. And Taysom Hill might be a little bit cheaper, so you get defensive players with it. If depending on how Drew Brees wants his contract to go.
Yeah, this whole thing is something. Again, I deep down, I think Brees wants to come back. He's planning on coming back. I think the Saints want him back for another year. But what does that mean now for Taysom Hill? Does he want to wait another year to be the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints? And I just found that interview fairly interesting. Text us if you have any thoughts about this. Keep them short and sweet. Put your first name or your initials at the end of the text, 260-9595. What do you think about what Taysom Hill said? And will this make Drew Brees maybe retire a year before he wanted to? 260-9595. Please don't text while you drive.
And standard data and message rates apply.
Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. But we talk about a lot of Florida men, a lot of Florida women, a lot of crazy Florida stories that we see. But now you could add Florida monkeys to that list. Monkeys in Florida are spreading herpes. how do you say that? Rhesus macaw? Monkey?
You're asking the wrong person, dude.
R-H-E-S-U-S. Rhesus, and I know it's a macaw monkey, but they say that there's a few of them now running around Florida, and they have the herpes B virus.
And they're giving it to people?
Well, they're saying, Florida, beware. Herpes monkeys are spreading across the entire state of Florida. You know, just when you thought things couldn't get any crazier in Florida, with Florida man, Florida woman, now you got Florida monkeys with herpes. And, it's very rare, but the herpes B virus is potentially fatal to human beings. So while the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission are keeping an eye on this, it's Florida. Anything could happen, Coleman. And I think
I'm trying to wrap my head around the topography of Florida. Now, I know there's swamp marshlands in the south. Maybe around the panhandle, there could be some. I'm thinking, where could a monkey actually be in their natural habitat in Florida? It has to be up north in the panhandle, because I'm thinking southern Florida, Destin, Miami. Monkeys? Would herpes just running around Florida, the entire state?
Well, I'm telling you right now.
And how would a monkey get close enough to a human to even give it herpes? Herpes is, it's skin-to-skin contact, right? So if you allow a monkey to get that close to you to give you herpes, oh, man, this is so much to wrap my head around.
Well, as of right now, they're just giving it to each other. It doesn't say anything about giving it to people, although this is Florida.
So who discovered that the monkeys had herpes?
The people at the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Okay, they were bored one day and saw a cold sore on the monkey's lips. And
that's what I was going to say. If you see any monkeys in Florida that have maybe something on their lip, a cold sore or something like that, scratching a lot, this could be one of the monkeys in Florida that has herpes, Coleman. And again, there's different types of herpes.
I get that.
And this just happens to be one particular type, the herpes B virus. So it never ends in Florida, right? Coming up next, I'll tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. And believe it or not, it's not monkeys in Florida with herpes. It's the dumbest thing I read all morning. Coming up next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's around 8:35, it's time for us to tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man arrested for trying to pay for prostitute with hamburger.
Say what?
Police arrested Dominic Calderon last week.
Idiot.
For solicitation after he attempted to pay an undercover police officer posing as a prostitute with a hamburger. The pair agreed on a price, but Calderon told the officer that he could not pay it because he did not get paid from his job until Friday. You know what this reminds me of? The old Popeye, it was a Popeye cartoon with Wimpy.
Yeah.
Wimpy will glad you pay you tomorrow for a hamburger that he can eat today. This kind of reminds me of that. So,
I wonder how insulted the female officer felt that this guy felt like, you know what, you're worth one hamburger. That when I look at you, what I see is one hamburger.
Well, again, Coleman, they agreed on a price, but he said he couldn't pay because he didn't get paid from his job until a few days from when they met. He then asked her for her phone number so he could enjoy her services later. And the officer noticed that Mr. Calderon was carrying a bag from Chili's, the restaurant.
Hey.
And then asked him what was inside that bag. He then told her it was a hamburger. And then it was at that point that he asked the officer if he could use the hamburger to pay her instead of cash. And it was at that point that a financial agreement,
yeah.
And that's when I guess she went from being an undercover officer posing as a prostitute to arresting him for soliciting a prostitute with a hamburger.
You know, we wouldn't have these kind of problems if they just make prostitution legal.
Well, you know, Coleman, I've said that several times on this show. I'm a political libertarian. I believe in more personal freedom and personal responsibility, less government intrusion in our lives. That's what that's all about. And, you know, you're talking about prostitution. In most cases, this is something that is done between two consenting adults.
Yeah. So what's the difference between him offering her a hamburger for services and me taking a girl out on a date to get hamburgers? And she's like, you know what? If you feed me, I'll let you smash later. You know, like, what is literally the difference?
There's no difference.
Yeah.
You know, the only difference is at least your date that you're going out with,
mm-hmm.
at least she gets to do a couple of other things, like go out and have a meal with you. And then, you know, if she's happy with all of that, how much money you spent on her, then she'll maybe repay you in some way for the lovely night that you just showed her.
Yeah. So anyway, it seems like almost everything a male does, whether they're married or not, whether it's with your partner or not, or whether it's with a complete stranger, it's all a form of prostitution in some way, shape, or form. You're exchanging services for sex, whether it's protection, security, if I'm giving you love and affection and you give me sex, like that's still some form of a mutual exchange, no matter how it works.
Well, in the end, basically what you're saying is true, Coleman. In the end, whatever is going to cost the guy something.
Whether
he goes to a hooker, a prostitute, or whether he tries to meet a nice woman and take her out, and you know, in the end, it's going to cost something. Well, the man who was arrested for trying to pay the prostitute with a hamburger was the dumbest thing I read all morning. Boy, there's a lot of people that are having an issue with J-Lo's outfit. But both her and Shakira looked fantastic during the Super Bowl halftime show. Again, it's not my favorite type of music, but boy, did they look incredible.
Especially when you consider how old J-Lo is.
50 years old?
Yes.
50 years old didn't look like that a few years ago.
I couldn't climb that pole if I wanted to, and I'm like 20, 30 years younger than her.
And Shakira's 43,
yeah.
And she looked fantastic too. I mean, I wish I enjoyed that type of music more, but I enjoy the halftime show without even enjoying that type of music very much.
You know, you can watch stuff like that on mute, right?
Mm.
You can put whatever soundtrack you want in your head when you see it shaking.
There are some people that are upset about that halftime show. They're saying, I had to take my kids out of the room, and some are saying, well, you should have known it was J-Lo, but then others are saying, it's a bleeping football game. It's halftime. Why should I have to tell my kid to leave the room at halftime of a bleeping football game? More of that's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So the mayor of Kansas City made a bet with the mayor of San Francisco. That's what mayors do when their two teams play in the Super Bowl. And the mayor of Kansas City said, if the 49ers win and we lose, we'll send you a bunch of our ribs that we're known for here in Kansas City. The mayor of San Francisco said, if the Chiefs win and we lose, we'll send a couple of our people over to the streets of Kansas City to go take a dump. And so evidently the dump is going to happen. They're going to, the Kansas City streets are going to be messy like the San Francisco streets. Hey, congratulations to Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. He was named Offensive Player of the Year yesterday, and only the second wide receiver in NFL history to win that award, Jerry Rice, who most agree is the greatest wide receiver who ever played, he was the only other wide receiver to win the Associated Press Offensive Player of the Year before Michael Thomas won it this past weekend. And Michael Thomas is the second New Orleans Saint to ever win that award. Drew Brees won that award back in 2008. So good job, Michael Thomas, who now most people agree right now is the best wide receiver in the National Football League. And that's an award usually quarterbacks win. If a quarterback doesn't win it, maybe a running back would win it. But, yeah, good job, Michael Thomas, being the second wide receiver and second New Orleans Saint in history to win the Associated Press Offensive Player of the Year. And coming up on our show, it's our commercial-free ride. Talk a little bit about more of yesterday's festivities. And what seems to be getting a lot of play is Jennifer Lopez in her outfit, or lack thereof, performing the halftime show. What do you think? Where are we going in the future? I mean, last year it was Maroon 5, and they were panned by most people. Although we were able to see their singer, Adam Levine's nipples. I thought that was sexist. I mean, geez, Janet Jackson, we only saw part of one nipple, and the country went into a tizzy. And then here's Jennifer Lopez showing basically her entire backside and her butt crack. I got the big screen at home, and boy, most of my big screen was Jennifer Lopez's butt crack.
50 inches, huh?
I can fit the inches of butt crack, Coleman. But there were some people that weren't happy about that. Why should they have to tell their kids to turn away or leave the room during the halftime show? And it's like, where do we draw the line? Why is a nipple, so a woman's nipple, not even a man's nipple, why is a woman's nipple so offensive to people? Where we can't watch it, but yet we can watch an entire female butt crack. Where do you draw the line here? And it's our commercial-free ride next. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. And that's going to do it for our show this morning. Thank you for listening. Ginty is next. Ginty! Music Notes at noon. We'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.